Gino, and once again it's time for the Pastor's Study. We began last time that we were together to begin a brand new series of studies entitled Great Doctrines of the Bible. Today we're going to begin to look at the doctrine of fasting in just a moment. And we'll begin in Matthew chapter 6. So be turning to Matthew chapter 6. Before we begin, again, I want to mention that every study broadcast over the Pastor's Study is available on audio cassette tape. If you'll just write me at the address that's given at the end of the broadcast, tell me the title of the study, and I will get that tape right out to you. Also available to you absolutely free is an audio cassette tape catalog of all the studies that have been aired over the Pastor's Study since its beginning. Again, that's available to you absolutely free. Again, if you'll write me and ask for it at the address that will be given at the end of the broadcast. Now, before we begin our study, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to open up thy words. And of course, when we say thy words, when we say the scriptures, we mean your inspired, infallible, inerrant word as preserved in this good old AV 1611 King James Bible. Father, now, I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, use me as a vessel unto honor for you. I pray that you would bless the listener, Lord, bless the message, bless your word as it goes out. And I pray that you would minister to us individually as we need to be ministered through thy words. And Father, if anything is accomplished today, it'll be because of you. And we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. And we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. So let's begin on the great doctrines of the Bible. Today we're going to look at fasting. And I want us to begin in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 with me, beginning in verse 16. And Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." To most 21st century Christians, fasting seems strange, because for nearly a century and a half, fasting has been considered a spiritual act exercise to be practiced by only those thought to be extreme and fanatical. However, fasting is a scriptural truth, even though it has been dormant and not traditionally practiced. After New Testament days, spirituality waned and worldliness flourished. The power and gifts of the Holy Spirit were not used or withdrawn. Many of the early spiritual practices of the early church were soon forgotten. Today, we are experiencing a recovering of some of the lost secrets of the early church and the power that let loose through true biblical revival. Fasting is included in this recovery of New Testament channel of power. We should be open to receive and willingly to obey fresh light from God and so grow in the knowledge of the Word and truth. Fasting, my friend, is a God-appointed means for the flowing of His grace and power that we can afford to neglect no longer. With the recovery of spiritual truth in regards to fasting, there are two dangers to avoid. Number one, to give fasting an importance out of proportion to scriptural teaching, to exaggerate and overemphasize it. Number two, to resist with misgivings and inhibitions concerning something new because it seems different to our traditional attitude and prejudices. Fasting is important, even though it is a major Bible doctrine. It is not a foundational stone of the faith, nor is it a cure-all for all spiritual ills. But it is an exercise for Christians today. However, when exercised with a pure heart and a right motive, fasting may, number one, provide a key to unlock doors where other keys have not. Number two, provide a window opening up new horizons of spiritual experiences. And number three, provide a spiritual weapon from God for the struggle with sin. We ask the question, what is fasting? Well, fasting is the spiritual exercise of practicing self-discipline, the denial of food and or things and persons, and the exercise of the heart before God in order to minister to and to glorify God. It is done under God at His choosing and leading, to wait upon Him for His unmerited grace. It is to be God-initiated, like a burden is placed on us by the Holy Spirit for praying. Amen. Jesus said that not when we would fast, when we would fast, not if. Jesus taught His disciples to fast. He warned about practicing or giving, praying, fasting before men for their praise. And that's what He talked about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. He did not say, if you fast, but when you fast. He left no doubt that His disciples would obey the leading of the Spirit in this exercise. Jesus mentions fasting as a separate exercise distinct from praying. Fasting and praying are often linked in Scripture and in experience, but they do not always have to go together. There may be times of praying without fasting and times of fasting without unusual praying. It may not be possible to give oneself to prayer for the whole time of fasting. Now let's look at some reasons for fasting. Reasons for fasting. We are to inquire of God whether or not He would have us separate ourselves unto Him in fasting, and for these reasons. Number one, for personal consecration. For personal consecration. Let's turn to Psalm 69 together. Psalm 69 with me. And when you get to Psalm 69, let's look at verse 10 and read that verse together. Psalm 69, verse number 10. When I wept and chastening my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Again, when I wept and chastening my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. The psalmist is using fasting here for personal consecration. Look also with me in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter number 13 with me. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And of course, here it is talking about Saul and Barnabas. Amen. They fasted, they prayed, and they laid hands on them. You know, to set them apart for personal consecration, amen, for before they left on the missionary journey, amen. Then in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So here we see in the early church, elders were ordained in every church, pastors. And after they had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They set them apart. Amen. Fasting is for personal, one of the reasons for fasting is for personal consecration. Another reason for fasting is to be heard on high. To be heard on high. Turn with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra, if you would. The book of Ezra. We need to go to the book of Ezra. Amen. The book of Ezra with me, if you would. And chapter 8 of Ezra. Verse 23. Ezra 8:23. Ezra is speaking here. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. So we see here Ezra is speaking that they fasted because they wanted to hear from God on a particular issue. So we see not only one reason for fasting is personal consecration, but also to be heard on high. Also, another reason for fasting is to change God's mind. To change God's mind. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, if you would. In 2 Samuel, we want to look at chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Now, he was fasting for the child that was conceived with Bathsheba, between him and Bathsheba in adultery. The child was stricken ill. And David fasted, amen, to change God's mind, not to take the life of the child. Looking in verse 22. of 2 Samuel 12. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? So we see then, that's why David fasted, to change God's mind, not to take the life of the child. But now, but we see that the child did indeed die. David did not change God's mind. Looking in Jonah chapter 3. So we see in David's case, the fasting didn't change God's mind. But look at in Jonah here. Jonah chapter 3. We know that God sent Jonah to the heathen city of Nineveh to tell them either they repent and get right, or God was going to destroy that city in 40 days. And so as a result of the message that Jonah preached, looking in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, believed Jonah's message that was from God, and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So we see they're fasting. They want to change God's mind. They believe the message that God indeed is going to destroy their city in 40 days. So they fast to change God's mind. What's the result? Verse 10, Jonah chapter 3. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would not do unto them, and he did it not. So we see then, indeed, the fasting by the people of Nineveh from the king all the way down, amen, to the poorest in that city, changed the mind of God, amen. The people of Nineveh, by fasting and repenting, amen, changed the mind of Almighty God. A fourth reason for fasting is to free and deliver the captives. To free and deliver the captives. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58 in verse number 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? The Lord speaking here. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Another reason for fasting is to free and deliver the captives. Amen. And we see that here in Isaiah, it's talking about physical captivity. Amen. But also fasting can be used to free and deliver the spiritual captives, those that are unsaved. Amen. Family, friends, or acquaintances, whoever you may be fast for someone to be saved. Amen. To be set free from their sin, to repent and trust Christ as their personal Savior. A fifth reason for fasting is for revelation, understanding, and wisdom. Let's look at Daniel, the prophet Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 with me, if you would. Daniel chapter 9, in verses 2 and 3 to begin with. Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel is fasting for understanding and wisdom from God and revelation to be given from God. Then we read in verses 21 and 22, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." So we see then, because of his fasting, we see that Daniel was indeed given the understanding that he asked for because he prayed and fasted, amen. Now let's look in Acts chapter 27, an account with the Apostle Paul. He was on board ship and there was a great storm and many feared that the people feared that they were going to lose their lives. Acts chapter 27 in verse 21 and following. "But after long abstinence," that's, in other words, he fasted, "Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." And he was telling them, you shouldn't have left the safe harbor, like I told you, should have stayed put, amen, and we wouldn't have gotten into this terrible storm. Verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So Paul says, no one's going to lose their life. We're going to lose the ship, though. "For there stood by me," and the Paul says the reason he knew this was, "for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." See, we began with after long abstinence. Paul had fasted, and as a result of fasting, he was given this revelation by God. Amen. As he says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God," in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, "and told him, revealed to him, because as a result of his fasting, that all those on board that ship, no one would lose their physical life, although they would lose the ship." Amen. A sixth reason for fasting is to buffet the body. To buffet the body. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He kept his body under. In other words, he didn't give in to the desires of his wicked flesh. And that's what we do when we fast. We buffet the body. We keep it under. We deny the wicked flesh. Amen. Let me give you some other references to go along with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. And also Romans chapter 13, verse 14. So we see then another reason for fasting is to buffet the body. And then the seventh reason, for physical health and healing. For physical health and healing. Turn with me to Psalm 35, if you would. Psalm 35 with me. In Psalm 35, verse number 13. Psalm 35, verse number 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. David's writing the psalm, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting. So we pray, here he is praying for someone, amen, or more than one individual, healing, to be restored to health, amen. So again, we see, we looked at seven reasons, briefly, for fasting. For personal consecration, number one. Number two, to be heard on high. Number three, to change God's mind. Number four, to free and deliver the captives. Five, for revelation, understanding, wisdom. Six, to buffet the body. Seven, for physical health and healing. In fasting, we deny the physical for the spiritual and may overcome physical drive and habits and temptations. We are released from the grip of sin. Our mind is more alert to God, and God will hear us. However, a right act done with the wrong attitude is not acceptable to God. Jesus warned not to be like the Pharisees in giving, praying, fasting with a show of piety, self-seeking, in desiring the applause of men. You know, we started out here, amen, we started out here in a lesson in Matthew chapter 6. Let's just go back there. So we have to fast with the right motive. Matthew chapter 6. And that's what Jesus was saying here in Matthew chapter 6 as he talked about giving and praying and fasting, that it's got to be with the right motive. Verse 16 of Matthew 6, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. You know, those that are pretending to be something they're not. That's what a hypocrite is. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. So what Jesus is saying, you know, you and I, we can't see a person's heart. Thank God for that. But Jesus can see the heart, man's heart. He reads the heart because he's God. Amen. And he says, don't fast like the hypocrites that fast, so other men can see. You could see outwardly that they were fasting because they disfigured their face so everybody would know, hey, look at me, I'm fasting. Don't do it. Fast for the wrong reason. Well, we've got more to go on this great Bible doctrine of fasting, and we'll cover it next time on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you once again for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one. Is my prayer, and good day.